Welcome, everybody. October 26th, 6 o'clock p.m. for our CUNA Rodeo Advisory Committee meeting. Start everybody off. We'll do a quick roll call. Cody Kitka here.
Marshall Mead here.
Oh, sorry.
Marshall Mead.
Here.
Jody Harrington.
Here.
Lenny Kitka.
Here.
Sarah Goodpasture.
Here.
Cody Kitka.
Here. All right. Well, good. I guess we can get started with number two, business items. Wrap-up discussion on the 2022 CUNA Rodeo. Wow. What a rodeo.
We did it.
Almost a touch overwhelming, but... proud to announce as well, for those that don't know, CUNA won three awards. Best New Rodeo of 2022, Fan Favorite, and number three was Top Five Prime ICA Rodeos. So hats off to everybody. Well done. So anybody else want to add anything there? Chris, was there anything you wanted to add?
I'll jump in on the budget when we're ready to roll it out.
Okay. I guess we can jump in. If there's no more discussion, do we need a vote on that?
No, it's just discussion.
We'll jump into staff update on the budget.
Okay, so when you're looking at the spreadsheet, and then he's going to pull it up here so you guys can see that. The left column was our actual costs. The right column was our estimated cost. Overall expenses, $122,000. So we're, I can't count that high, but $15,000, I guess, $16,000. Over what we expected, so there was some give and take. Everything's line itemed, and it's also categorized. And then vendors, we had $8,700 in revenue. Some of the spots went to sponsors. That was part of their sponsorship package, especially the nonprofits. They would come on as like a friend of the rodeo, and then they hold a vendor spot with that. Alcohol revenue, sponsor revenue, ticket sales, that number kind of moved around a little bit on us. You'll notice it's about 20 cents. Chris had 20 cents in the cash drawer, and so the treasurer's office made us count it. So that's how we ended up with 20 cents there. VIP sales, So we had a lot of VIP that were with sponsorship. VIP was really popular, more popular than I anticipated. People have already been trying to book VIP seats for next year or for 2023. Probably need to reanalyze that. Maybe we need to have a stamp on them or some kind of bracelet or wristband or something like that. The Mutton Bustin' registration, we were a little over on that because we had a time cut off, but we couldn't pin it down, so we didn't want to exclude. Merchandise was popular. Sagebrush Drifters was amazing. We had good ATM revenue, so basically we just had to let them in, and we picked up some revenue there. The ICA gave us a committee fee of $1,070, and there are added money was returned to us for VR and NBB because nobody made it to the timer, is what Matt explained to me. And
that would be bull riding and novice bareback.
Okay. I wasn't sure it was bronc riding or bull riding, so I was trying to remember. Thanks for clarifying that. That's kind of the update for that. I think we can see some areas that maybe will be a little different in 2023, such as, you know, we have a bunch of shirts out already, so we'll, you know, the committee will get shirts, but, you know, we can go through that process. I mean, some stuff we purchase that we won't need to repurchase. I think, like the chaps, the traveling, yeah, those kind of things. So that's kind of where that's at, and I'll stand for any questions. As far as the 2023 budget, that'll be set within the next, I don't know, month or two. We'll get that set, come back and talk about that.
I just like seeing the green.
Yep, I mean, it's nice. So we had a $57,000 carryover, so, you know, that's.
And that is the amount that will be in, the, so the CUNA Rodeo has our own account with our own name on it under the city branch, correct?
I'm going to tell you how we do it because I'm not quite sure what you're asking, but we have one massive account. Well, we have multiple accounts, but within our ledgers. And so the we have our own ledger account within the city's funds. This is all under general fund. And so these funds are committed to, so I track these funds, and then our treasurer tracks them, and then we balance back and forth to make sure I'm not missing anything and he's not missing anything. And but it doesn't have its own separate account like at the bank. Yeah.
The other thing that I had a question about is, did this have this scholarship money for the Queens?
It's already encumbered.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that money will stay encumbered until we get those details hammered out. I'm still working with the treasurer on that.
Okay.
I like to get his input on those kind of things.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's already encumbered.
Perfect. I'll get with you on that. Because I know that the queen, she's in school, so I bet she'll take out that one here shortly. So.
And that would be great. Then that's just one thing that, you know, that's taken care of. But, yeah, it's encumbered. It's already encumbered in the budget.
Perfect.
Feedback from the city or through the city regarding the rodeo?
I received one complaint from Saturday night that she bought a ticket or she bought tickets, there wasn't enough seating. So she was unhappy about that. The other ones were just, you know, this could have, you know, would have made it a little easier this or a little easier that, but just really the one complaint.
Any of the this or that the committee should be aware of or no?
I think we tried to address that on Saturday. I went out and was trying to separate the line. So it was basically separate line entrances, like had Mutt and Buster couldn't get through the line, so they missed Mutt and Busting. Turned out it was our city treasurer and his family, but the separating of the lines. So I went out and was trying to do that Saturday night, was separate them out. If you're ticketed, you go here. If you've got it electronically, let me stamp you, you go there. Tried to rectify that on Saturday. So.
Gotcha.
But other than that, it was just the one. As far as I had one vendor complaint. As far as, I had one that just was unhappy. And then the others were that they wanted to be within the fence so that they had access to food and that kind of thing. So, kind of the conversation, which just on a superficial level is, yeah, I don't mind them being in there, but they don't get to bring five people to staff their tent. You know, you have to figure out what's that balance so that they're not just loading up people in there to come watch the rodeo for free when we're asking, you know, kids five and older to pay to come in. So, you know, probably have to establish whatever that balance looks like that's appropriate. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's, you know, they're issued one or two, probably two passes to get in. And if they want or need more people in there, then they're going to have to pay to get in, or they're going to have to go swap those passes out. Something like that. Kind of try and talk to Morgan some more. She's worked a lot with a lot of these larger events. Kind of get some input on that to really kind of find out what strategy might work best. Overall, though, the vendors, other than they got hot, they were pretty happy, and they did pretty well. So it's kind of didn't really, the food vendors were ecstatic.
Should have been.
Yeah. The sponsors, I've had strong sponsor response. They've let me know they want to relock in their space. So really just, this really wasn't much else other than people were happy. Yeah.
I haven't heard anything attending, you know, or other roping or anything like that. I haven't heard anything other than holy cow, you guys put on a great rodeo.
Mm-hmm.
So just information from like all the bread boyers and everything like that. So
what do you think, Jody? I mean, you came in as a guest and a sponsor, and what were your thoughts? And you were out on the vendor aisle.
You know, like all the, like,
you kind of tapped it all.
Outside of this crew.
I thought it went really well. It was amazing. So I was super excited just from my own cheerleading type of like, oh, this is amazing. But I know that from a business side, looking at the vendor side, the vendor aspect of it, you know, if we're not going to bring the vendors into the venue, then we should have like a pre-rodeo bash, something to bring people out into the vendor area. Mm-hmm. So you can actually have more food vendors out with them, and then more people would come, or like a petting zoo, you know, something that brings people to the venue and the vendors out there. And then that way the vendors don't feel like they're missing out and being somewhat excluded by the rodeo venue itself.
Yeah, no, all that
so just
sense.
That would be probably my only thing. And then the VIP was incredible. I think you could probably triple that for sure. That was amazing.
Yeah,
but other than that, I didn't really see anything from my side that looked like it really needed.
Yeah, that's great input. And I think,
yeah, you know, like as a sponsor, you got your money's worth out of it.
Well, we didn't have to sponsor because we're actually part of the chamber, but when we went out and talked to different vendors, because we know a lot of them, because a lot of them will do chamber events, they were disappointed that there wasn't more out in the vendor side, that it seemed like it was open at 2, and then you just were there.
Right.
Not a lot of foot traffic in the beginning. Obviously, you can't change the climate or the elements, but definitely having more of a, I would consider a pre-rodeo bash would be, if you're not going to include them in that part for whatever reason, then that would make more sense to have something like that.
I think it makes sense to include them.
Yeah, I mean, it would be amazing if you could.
Because I think it's just, you know, stretching funds.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, they need to eat and they need to have services and that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. So yeah. I think it's just about finding the balance of how many passes they get so mm-hmm. that they're not loading up.
Yeah, Morgan was really great about that with us. Yeah. I mean, she was accessible and available to be able to help the vendors that had more than one person, or if we were trading out at times, it worked out really well.
Okay,
with the good passes.
The only other comment I have is that we had no security issues. The police department was very happy with how we did. We had one emergency incident in the parking lot. A younger guy, I think a teen, had some chest pains. So that's why we had the emergency response from CUNA fire, but he was taken in for services, but he was okay. Other than that, we didn't have any emergency situations or services. They watched for any underage drinking, and all that turned out fine, and so they're happy with us, and they're supportive of it moving forward. Anybody else? Okay. I don't have anything more.
Okay. If we don't have anything else, we'll move on to item C, staff update on the City of Cuna trademark and registration of ownership of the Cuna Rodeo.
So we have that done. We have our serial number, the trademarks and registration. It takes time. It has to go through the whole process. But we've declined to trademark in Japan or Europe. But so it's under review, but we have been issued the serial number for it. And so that will prevent, you know, anybody else trying to take that name, and it's good forever. So in 20 years or 30 years, it's still going to be trademarked Cuna Rodeo.
Perfect.
So it'll be long. So that's it on that.
Okay, we'll move on to D, guidance and directives provided to the city by the Cuna City Attorney with changes in timeline from the Cuna City Rodeo Ad Hoc Committee, Advisory Committee,
yes,
to the City Cuna City Advisory Rodeo Committee.
Yes. Such a tongue twister there. So I included a memo. You'll see in the italics, that's just, I just took what he sent us and put it in there. I didn't rephrase it. The first thing is that, and I'm just going to run through this just to make sure everybody understands. Ad hoc, any ad hoc committee is basically, okay, try it out, temporary, mm-hmm. Let's see how it goes. Clearly, it was a success. And so now it'll move to an advisory committee to the city. And that changes from being a resolution into code, which then it'll go actually into Cuna City Code. It'll be in our code book. And part of that, then they go through and they define rules and responsibilities and all that kind of stuff. Pretty standardized as far as how we process that. And then it'll define how many members there are, those kind of things. Members are appointed via resolution. So, because resolutions tend to be like a more transient document, and so when you have new members or you have changes, then you just go in with resolution, you make those changes. But the ordinance itself will not have the members' names in there. That we'll do that with the buddy resolution. But in the ordinance also, the request is, I've gone back and forth with him, after observing the amount of time that, you know, just the weekend of the rodeo that everybody spent working at the committee, everybody was there. The requests of staff, directors have talked about it. We've talked about it with the mayor, gone back and forth with the attorney, and the recommendation from city staff and city is going to be to the council that they allocate an annual stipend for about $1,000 for any of the committee members that work the rodeo. So if you're serving on the committee and you come out and you work the rodeo and the supporting events, then, you know, we can't actually pay for a position, but we can call it a reimbursement of time or a stipend. And so that will be going for consideration with the ordinance to the council. Timeline, he's writing it amongst many other things, but I would anticipate seeing it in the next 30 days or so. Could be longer, but I know he's working on it. Once that comes back, then we'll go to council, ask them to approve it, which will include stipend, and then we'll take the buddy resolution, which will have the members' names on it as part of the order. Currently, the resolution allows for 6 members, but we want to go ahead and take that to 7 in the ordinance just to make sure that we have an odd amount so that there's no exclusion to voting. That's kind of where it's at. So that's the timeline as far as, you know, putting it into action from an ad hoc to a permanent committee.
There was a lot of verbiage with regard to members. Mm-hmm. Do we want to talk about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so we were in violation of government ethics for the 2022 rodeo because, you know, Crooked Eight owners sit on that. And he has been pretty firm that we can't do that. And so as we go to 2023, then the conversation becomes, I mean, the long term is for the rodeo to have its own grounds, to have its own facilities, to have all of that kind of stuff. But does that happen overnight? No. Is it, you know, it's just not something that happens. So we have to have the option to look at venues. And so if any of the members want us to, you know, utilize that venue, their venue, then they can't be on the committee and be the recipient of the venue award. So
understood.
Yeah. And so that's an ethics in government, and we were in violation of it. And but because we were in ad hoc, I mean, our meetings weren't as structured or strict. As you'll see, the agenda's stricter. Timelines are stricter because now we're a permanent committee. We're not in flux. But love to hear what you have to say because you guys are the owners of the Crooked Eight.
The floor.
Yeah. May I have the floor for a moment?
You may.
When Chris Ingalls asked me to sit on the Rodeo Advisory Committee, I was thrilled to be a part of something so amazing for our community. I came into this with only the best of intentions. What all of us in this room and dozens of other community volunteers have accomplished by working together is nothing short of amazing. You should all be very proud of yourselves and grateful to those members of our community. This was a first rodeo for all of us. In the 60 days since the rodeo, I have reflected extensively on this great accomplishment and pondered several ideas to make it even better for our town. However, it has been recently brought to my attention via an email that the city no longer wishes for me to be a part of this ad hoc committee or permanent advisor committee. Quoting the city attorney, it is my opinion that in order to comply with the ethics of government, Chapter 4, Title 74, that individuals who contract with the city to provide services for the rodeo should not serve on the rodeo board, notably 74-402 is the purpose statement for the act, and it provides that there should be impartiality and independence by government officials. Additionally, the act is intended to prevent public office from being used for personal gain and to prevent special interests from unduly influencing governmental actions. Having an expected contractor also serving as a board member raises obvious concerns related to these purposes of the act. In my opinion, the easiest way to avoid a conflict arising and a possible violation of the act, would be to not include anyone as a rodeo board member that the city expects it will contract with for the rodeo services. Appointing board members with apparent conflict simply gives rise to the likelihood of law violations and would also increase the need for close legal oversight to ensure recusal occurred when necessary. I myself was unaware of this presumable conflict. The advisory committee does not have the authority to govern the rodeo. Our role is to provide support, input to city council, in which the city has the authority to supersede any decisions we vote on by the advisory committee. Nonetheless, I am resigning from my position on the ad hoc advisory committee effective at the conclusion of this meeting. My intention was never to create conflict of interest, and I certainly was unaware of anyone within the committee or city staff sharing that sentiment. I wish nothing but good things to the Rodeo Advisory Committee as we move forward with keeping rodeo alive, but in different directions. Thank you for allowing me to be part of this committee.
For the record, Chris Engel, city clerk, I would have been the one that was at fault, none of the committee members. As Lenny said, you guys were invited to be on this ad hoc committee, and so I just want it known on the record that this was, you know, this was not some, you know, there's been no violation from the committee members. This was a first-year return, juggling the balls, and so the violation, and if any consequences occur from that, belong to my office, belong to me.
Thank you. Can I have the floor?
You may, sir.
I would like to inform you that my resignation from this ad hoc CUNA Rodeo Advisory Committee effective Thursday, October 22nd, 2022. Thank you for allowing me to be a member of the committee, and I wish you guys well. Sincerely, Marshall.
Thank you.
If I may have just a second. Dear Mayor Steer, it is with great sadness that I tender my resignation from the Ad Hoc Advisory Committee, effective Thursday, October 27th, 2022. I'm grateful for having the opportunity to serve the committee for the past 11 months and being a part of taking what was a four-year dream into reality in essentially 6 months. Rodeo has been a part of my entire life, and I was happy to share some of that experience. I offer my best wishes for the continual success of CUNA Rodeo.
Thank you.
We just
solve
that one.
Mayor, would you like to make a comment?
Can I make a comment before or after Mayor Steer?
Go ahead.
I just want to say thank you, you know, for everything that you guys have done, and it's a pickle to be in. I continue to want all of you guys to have your input, you know, as friends and everything like that. So. I don't know, I'm probably saying this out of what I should do, but I do care about all of you guys, and what you guys did for the rodeo was unexplainable. You were on the original committee, so thank you so much, but I also understand, you know, you guys want to run a business and you like to pay your mortgage, you know, so, but thank you for everything you are doing, and please put in that paperwork so that we can have it at the Crooked Eight again. Okay. Okay, thanks.
Mayor, would you want to make any comment?
If I may. yeah, you all pulled off an amazing feat. I mean, that was from zero to something in 200 miles an hour. All of the work and effort that went into that, the fact that you opened up your property to become a venue for the rodeo was amazing. I know the amount of work that goes into that, and I appreciate that so much. And none of this is ever meant to make it sound like any of you did anything wrong, because you didn't. We scrambled like you did to put this together, and that's why, you know, the attorney chimed in after we were done, and so he's just going, you can't do that, and well, we did, so we just won't tell anybody. No, but there's nothing on any of you. You did a great job, a fantastic job, and I can't thank you enough. And I certainly hope that you will consider to be the venue. And, you know, your experience is very valuable. So we appreciate that. But thank you so much for what you did. I can't thank you enough. That was just watching that all come together and how that worked those two nights, I was like, all I could say was wow. So I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mayor Steer, and thank you for the opportunity to do this and for inspiring us to step up and create something for the community. There's a lot of unsung heroes out there. We got a couple, three over there that definitely put in a lot of sweaty, hot days and early mornings to pull it off. So hats off to everybody, and thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
That's the next.
We can move on to E.
Okay.
Discussion of the CRAC members' roles and responsibilities.
We were talking about that earlier, I don't know.
And what the roles and responsibilities of the city are.
So the definitions are there. A minimum of 3 members, max of 7. City can still conduct the rodeo the CUNA rodeo without an advisory committee. The suggested annual stipend that I talked about. Dial in on the chair and vice chair that they can serve a 2-year, and then the vice chair would step into the chair position. If I'm getting this wrong, Sarah, tell me. And then the sitting chair goes to a membership, and it rotates back up through seniority because, I mean, the thing is that rodeo is so specialized. It's not like any of our other committees. It's very specialized. It's skilled. And so if you have the same people that want to continue to, you know, put this service to the community as a focal point, you want to keep them vibrant and you want to be able to move them through. So that's the hope there.
I think the only thing I would question at that part is the seniority. Mm-hmm. You know, if you do have someone new that has been around now, let's say a couple of years, and they can move into that vice chair position and then move into chair, mm-hmm. Is that something that can happen, or does it just, because if there's someone that's been there for 10 years, do they just keep doing that rotation, or can someone that is newer... Am I just confused in my own thoughts?
Okay, let me see. Let me go back to you and see if I understand.
Mm-hmm.
If we have the board and somebody leaves the board and we get a new person in,
mm-hmm.
and then we have that rotation where the vice steps to chair and chair steps down, and then that new person can go to vice chair to chair. Right. They don't have to wait. I mean, I think it really ultimately what happens is that when it comes time to move from vice chair, that vice moves to chair, but then that vice will be elected by the board.
Okay.
So whomever that is, I think what we just don't want to see is that there's no room to expand if you want within. And you certainly... A member can decline. I don't want to be the vice chair. I don't want to be the chair. I don't, you know, they can decline to do that.
They do not have that option.
No, they don't.
No. My biggest reason for ever bringing that up is, yes, get the knowledge and, you know, have people learn, but also burn out, because then you don't have someone that's been president for 10 years and they're over it, and now the rest of the board scrambles because they're leaving, and right. So that was my thoughts on that situation.
I mean, if anybody sees that reading differently, by all means, you know, speak up. Recommitment of desire to serve on the CUNA Rodeo Advisory Committee annually with a review by committee staff, mayor, and then confirmation through resolution through the CUNA City Council. So basically... annually, and I think we'll figure that out. But annually, do you want to continue to serve on the committee? Yes. Then we're going to go back to council with a resolution that says these are our members, so that that's always current and up to date. There's no, and this is standard for all of our committees, no authority of members to commit the city financially, contractually, or otherwise without approval of the city. Those violating the provision will be asked to resign or remove from the City CUNA Rodeo Advisory Committee. That's pretty much standard for us, and believe it or not, we have had a couple incidences on other committees that's happened. So, the city will work collaboratively with CRAC members on input and direction for CUNA Rodeo scheduling, contracts, budgets, event, and other rodeo details to meet the annual goals of the city and the CUNA Rodeo Advisory Committee and long-term securement of infrastructure and equipment for the CUNA Rodeo. We will work through the process of finding our vibe as far as communicating and moving the rodeo forward and meeting the needs of the community. The city and CRAC will, city and CRAC will work collaboratively in developing a roster of paid support hires for the CUNA Rodeo annual events that complies with city requirements. So what that really is about is, and this came up in 2022, our attorney, because we're a city, our attorney's like, we're going to pay those people. And so we need to work on developing that roster. And I think that what's important when we develop that is that we're listening to input from the rodeo community on what does that number look like? How do we best service those people on the roster? That kind of thing, so that we're, you know, meeting those needs or meeting that expectation, however that best way to do that.
For on that one, is there any way that we can do city, CRAC, and venue? Because a lot of times I feel like the venues have people that are maybe know the venue better and maybe are able to kind of work certain portions. So having them have a little bit of an input on who they may want, I don't know if that's something that we should just do or if we need to put it in writing.
So let's take it piece by piece. Are you talking about actual arena help or... Because if it's arena help, they send them to us and we put them on the roster and then I do the paperwork on this end to get them paid. Perfect. If it's, like on the venue bid list, it's like if they want to do the beer and wine or whatever, that's their people, right? That's their venue people. Like that's...
The venue would have an input in that. Should this state, city, CRAC, and venue, or just the CRAC and the venue working together?
I mean, it's going to be up front. It's one thing to get input from the Kitkas, but if for some reason they weren't our venue, then you don't want to do that. The reason it stays between CRAC and the city is because, yes, the Kitkas are knowledgeable and reasonable and all that, but if for some reason they didn't want to be a venue anymore or whatever, we have to go to a new venue. They are not rodeo people. They don't understand it. They're just space for us. We do not want them trying to control that. It's different to go ahead because I think the committee is open to hearing from the rodeo community and all that activity. I think that's different than it is to... It's never just about today. It's always about how we're dealing with it today, but in 2 years, in 5 years, in 10 years, in 20 years. I mean, and maybe we're still renting a venue in 20 years, you know? I mean, maybe we just never get enough money. I don't know, but the attorney wouldn't support that. If the Crooked Eight hired staff to work beer and wine, that's not us, right? They get to choose their people. We aren't going to choose them for them. If they have recommendations, like I know that Cody put together a lot of the arena staff, if he has recommendations for the roster, yeah, send them our way. We work through that.
Is there a line item for that? I'm trying to scroll quickly. On the bid sheet?
Yep.
Like, there is?
Yeah.
Yep, down towards the bottom.
Yeah.
Your line.
No, yep. You're in the profits. You need to be in the...
No, this is it. This is the bid sheet, right?
Right. Oh, in the bid sheet. Sorry,
yeah.
I thought you were talking the budget.
Because there's beer and wine here, no staffing. Is there an arena staff?
No.
Okay.
That comes from us.
But, okay. Because that's the biggest reason, and tell me if I shouldn't be talking about this at this
no,
point.
No, you're fine.
The thing that scares me about that, and it can go from, you know, it depends on the venue, obviously, and thinking 10 years down the road, and also, you know, because they have their arena staff. So I feel like, is there a way that we can add it on to the bid sheet?
No.
It scares
because
me.
The bid's got to go out public.
Okay.
And so, so I get exactly where you're going, and I'm on board with you. A lot of what you're talking about hammers out in the contract. The bid sheet is separate from the contract. The contract is all a different thing. But what you're talking about is details that hammer out in the contract.
Okay.
And we want to do contracts early this year because we never got them reviewed in here. We never got them to council. They went through the attorney, and then he sent them to me. It just went that route. So I get what you're saying, and I get where you're going. If the Crooked Eight has arena staff that they like to use, they just have to send that arena staff to us, for me, to the city, so I can put them on the roster, go through the W-9 process with them so that I can get a check out for them.
Or the way that I would understand that, too, is you would build that into the bid. No different than bar staffing.
I don't know. I can't answer that question.
Because then that gives it, I think, the option of if the CUNA Rodeo, I apologize, I misspoke. If Crooked Eight does host and we do want to use their arena home, then...
So here's what I got to say right now.
Sorry.
As you can tell, I got a lengthy email from the city attorney about governmental ethics. So I'm going to just ask that, as far as that goes, that since, you know, they're still with us on the board, that we can't have that conversation right now, that we would have to table that portion of the conversation. No disrespect.
It's fine.
Yeah. That's a separate conversation, but a lot of what you're talking about works out through... the contract. There's a contract after the bid process.
For the record right now, we are not wearing Crooked Eight hats. We have a lot of pride in the CUNA Rodeo Advisory Ad Hoc Committee.
I believe that's to be very true and factual. I just want to follow the direction from my attorney.
Yeah.
I think that when it comes to a roster, that roster isn't that I've just published that out on, I don't know, social media or the website or whatever. That's not the process that can work. It has to be a process where these are well-known, capable, and competent, and trusted, and you go through that process. And then I go through the process on our end of the paperwork that's needed and any agreements or contracts. So that's how that will go. And the roster can be full. I mean, we want it to be full. We want it to be robust. It's nothing singular. City has final authority on all the actions, and all actions of the CUNA Rodeo Advisory Committee and City will comply with all state and local codes. That will include open meetings, transparency, and use of funds, and all other requirements. And so really what that's saying is we will follow the laws that talk about open meetings and transparencies, which is that the meetings are posted a minimum of 48 hours in advance, and that the packets, everything that you guys receive is available to the public, mm-hmm. and that it's an open process with budgets and contracts, and they're all available. Everybody can see them at any time. That there's no, that when the public is invited to speak, that it's all, it's put on the agenda. And you'll notice that I had to put in there about the beginning. That's just to help people with that transition. Because when we were ad hoc, we would sit around and have lots of input, lots of conversation. And that doesn't follow open meeting laws. Basically, when you're allowing the public to speak to the board, open meeting laws require that that's published, that they're going to have the opportunity to speak. So that anybody who maybe has been waiting for, you know, a month to talk or whatever, that they know, hey, at this meeting there's going to be public comment taken. And so that makes us compliant with state open meeting laws. Any questions?
I guess with regard to the second to last bullet point, just for some clarity, mm-hmm. the city has final authority on all actions of the CUNA Rodeo Advisory Committee.
Correct.
So there's no decision-making authority within the advisory committee. Well, there is, but the city has the final say. Who is taking that input and making the decisions from the advice?
It depends on what it is. So governing boards are like the city council and the planning and zoning, because they're given that authority through state code. On an advisory committee, you advise staff, you advise the city. So on new members, because that's something we're going to be working through here shortly, on new members, so the committee looks at the new members that are interested. They make their recommendation on the record, and then city staff takes that recommendation. We add any comments or staff report if we need to, and then we provide that to the mayor. The mayor reviews, and if he's agreeable to what those recommendations, then staff goes back, takes it to council. Contracts, we would work with the city attorney and whoever we're contracting with to get that contract hammered out. Then that contract goes back to council, comes back here to the advisory committee. They go through it. They're like, yep, this is good. Well, we're concerned about this, or I have a question about that. If we need to go back to the attorney, we do. Once the advisory committee is like, yep, we think this is good, then that staff takes that to council. What staff makes probably decisions on are probably like the venue layout, working out with the partnerships, like with the ICA, choosing shirt colors, working through sponsorships, making purchases, you know, of, you know, are we purchasing for a temporary, or we're purchasing like fencing, or, you know, or renting instead of buying, and, you know, those kind of actual strategies for the execution on the business end and the actual event end of it. We confer, you know, the directors meet every 2 weeks, and we discuss these things. You know, we discuss between all of us, all the departments are present. We meet with the mayor, and we go over all these things. So it's not in a vacuum. If the committee made a recommendation that staff didn't feel comfortable with, we felt like there was a reason that, you know, that didn't make sense, we definitely would meet all the directors. We'd discuss it. We'd discuss it with the mayor. If we felt like it, we'd talk to the attorney. If we felt like it, we, you know, needed it, we would go talk to counsel. You know, that's how we have, that's what we're obligated to do.
Sure. So the city is making the ultimate decision.
City makes the ultimate decision who is the stopgap, is appointed by the city to do those things.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Have you got any other questions? Okay. So that puts us at F, letters of interest for open crack seats and recommendations.
And there is
three.
There is a fourth one. It should be tabbed. Did you tab them?
No, I was going to pull it up.
Oh, I thought you were going to. Okay. Will you give them a hard copy?
I have a question. I feel like it's a hard question to ask, but I love you guys. How many seats are we filling?
We can fill up to seven seats.
Okay.
So there's.
I don't know why it's fine.
Seven seats.
Up to seven. Mm-hmm. Okay. Including the chamber position and me.
Seven is the total number.
Okay.
That would include. So it'd be five plus up to five plus you.
Okay. So. After tomorrow, you need to fill five. Minimum of three, but up to five.
Or you can fill one.
Just the one, or you guys are filling you now. I don't know what to do.
You got to fill three to five positions.
She's like five positions.
You actually can fill one position if you want. And we feel like you guys only want to choose one,
Or you don't need the four.
You know, you have the option of this.
I like odd numbers.
Is there one more? Thank you.
So you do have the option that you can choose one tonight to make you three. And then at the next meeting, the three of you have the option at that point to add to it. And you can take as long as you want on that process. If you want to, the two of you want to choose one tonight and then bring that one on, and then the three of you choose another. If you want to share that by adding just one at a time until you feel like you're at your full board, you know, you have the option to do that. You are not forced to choose any at all tonight. You can choose one and then bring them on and go through that process. It's really however you feel like you'd like to proceed.
After looking at all of them,
it's open.
Mm-hmm. Just starting with the first one that we received Heather Owen, I like her history with rodeo, rodeo queening, and her ability. I know that she can speak and put an event together because of her past history. I would recommend to see her on the board. Just because her past experiences. My thought also for the rest of the board is to have strong suits a little bit from each person, you know, so maybe not have everyone that is heavily involved in the rodeo community, but they might have a better background in planning events. I think for a perfect example, Gail Cutsforth, the second one we received. I really did like how she's been to some rodeos. She's never put on a rodeo, but she has been on teams before to be able to have the input of putting on large events to large scale. So something that I don't have a lot of experience with, large scale events, she might be able to bring a strong suit. And then the third one, Christopher Howard, again, never really put on a rodeo, but has been in the rodeo livestock industry, and has been a CUNA community member for many years. So he has a background of what is the city might have to take from that. And have that viewpoint and strong suit. And then the last one that we have in paper is James Henderson. He has He does have the experience of putting on many rodeos, being a part of the ground crew, obviously a handful that we can see. So I think there's a lot of strong suits from every person that can bring some awesome view and experiences from different areas to this committee. That's what I got.
Jody?
I kind of went over this today, and we actually had sort of gone over it today earlier, and I was thinking the same thing. I kind of felt like each of these individuals brought different things to the arena, so to speak, no pun intended. I didn't grow up in the rodeo scene, but it definitely seems like that would be a very strong suit, because if you don't know rodeo, how are you going to put something on? And I feel like Heather, is that the first person? Mm-hmm. I'm not scrolling fast enough. Definitely has the rodeo experience, much like Sarah. Great background, probably, you know, good speaker, can get her way around the arena. And then Gail, again, being able to do big events is a big deal, understanding how that works. Chris Howard, obviously, anything with, you know, CUNA is local, is huge. Everybody loves our local people, and he obviously has been around and probably knows a lot of the people in the community that are in that area. And so I was kind of like, I felt like all three of them were pretty good ideas or people that could come onto the committee. And then obviously this guy has done rodeo, so why not? So it's just one of those things where I'm a lot like Sarah, where I feel like the more diverse background you have and where they come from and what they can add makes for a better event. Mm-hmm.
Cody?
I think all four look great.
Mm-hmm. Lenny? Marshall?
I agree.
Okay, so...
Has anyone ever... it's a small town, and I know it shouldn't have any effect. Has anyone had any professional dealings with any of these people that ended in a
the city's vetted them.
Oh, okay, yeah. Because we don't need what happened last year.
It's vetted.
Yep.
Okay, so what I would request for a motion then would be, because this is an action item, I need the motion to be that you recommend consideration to accept for Crack Seeds, you know, Rodeo Advisory. Probably say it out. Probably be nicer. And then say each of their names. So whoever makes that motion, that's what I would need you to do, is to say each of their names. So then, and then there's a vote on it. Then I need a second and then a vote. So however you guys want to do that.
I, Sarah Goodpasture, make a motion to add four committee members to the CUNA Rodeo Advisory Committee, and those chair members be Heather Owen, Gail Cutsforth, I apologize, Christopher Howard, and James Henderson.
There's a motion on the floor.
I second the motion.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. It's been motioned and seconded and approved to accept all four applicants.
So, for the record, the process now will be for staff to submit these to Mayor for his review, and then it will go to council with a resolution to appoint them to CRAC.
I did have a question, and I guess I don't know if this is something we need to discuss later or now after this recommendation has already been made and seconded. Is there a way to have a seat, if the board votes, available for maybe even non-voting for venue host?
No, ma'am. Because then we're still sitting at the ethics.
Even if it's non-voting?
I have, yeah, I have.
Okay.
I have.
I tried.
I've had thorough conversation, but I do have some. But we will continue to have a conversation here about this as soon as we're finished with this. Okay. Is that when we're good?
Sorry, yep.
So while we are discussing, and I have to talk to the attorney, and I see where you're going, Sarah. There's a lot of interested people in the community, in the rodeo, and they want to be able to have input, and they want to be involved. And it's along all kinds of lines. And they don't necessarily want to be on the board. They just more are interested in, you know, activity support type thing. And so what we're now vetting right now internally, and I got to talk to the attorney some more about it and get cued in with him, is for lack, it's commonly referred to in a lot of different scenarios, but it's considered a Friends of. And so what that is a Friends of the CUNA Rodeo. And what that group is it's like a subcommittee of the committee, but it's more specialized, where they kind of are your on-the-ground go-team type scenario, where they're not making decisions, but they're trying to help fulfill some of the obligations. And so right now that's kind of what we're vetting inside, and what I'm trying to talk to the attorney, and I'm queued up to be able to have a chance to talk to him about that. But that would be the approach, and so that it would get us more in a zone where it's like not a voting member, but there is conversation. But for the record, if you think I'm not going to contact the Kitkas if I got a question, like, it's not like that. Like, it's not a comfortable situation. It's not ideal. You know, it's not. I have to follow. I have to do my job. And I have to do what I'm instructed by the city attorney. And so, and then I know it's not comfortable. You know, it's not comfortable for me all the time either, right? Sometimes I am not Chris. I am the city clerk. And sometimes I got to do my job. But that's what we're currently trying to do, is figure out what is that Friends of subcommittee kind of thing. What does that look like? How does that work? Who are those people? Who, you know, is it open to everybody? Is it more of a selective process? You know, more of the on the grounds experience sharing scenario.
I do like that, because I know we're going to continue to have conversation, but going forward, if something was to move to a different venue and we weren't as close, that's the biggest thing I want to make sure. And I do know that other rodeos do have a committee like that, that they don't have voting, and they are, you know, they're at the rodeo just as much helping out and doing things. That's actually where James Henderson, a lot of his history has come from, is doing that exact job. So I fully support, and I like that idea, just because having that extra.
And I think they become our roster. You know, like we've talked about, I have to have a roster. You know, and it's not necessarily just people that are in the arena. It's not necessarily just those people. That, like, there's that some of the issues are, we are a city, and I have an entire state code, an entire city code that tells me what I can and can't do, which is very different than most of the other rodeos.
It's tough, because I don't know of another rodeo that the city is directly involved in.
Right.
So that makes it a big challenge.
Right, and it's been challenging. So what my job is to find out, how do I put together the advice? You know, how do we get those people? Who are those people? What's the criteria for that? So once I get the attorney to say, okay, here's your box, and then I stretch out and I find all the gray area that I can get him to agree to, then I come back to the committee and I say, okay, what is this group? What's the criteria? What's the stipulation for them to be a part of that? What do you want to see? How does this work? How does this feel? You know, then we come back and we strategize about that.
So. Oh, you make me happy. Okay. I like that, that's being worked on. So.
Trying.
You make me happy.
Doing my best.
All right. Keep it moving here. Move on to G, consideration to approve the 2023 CUNA Rodeo sponsor packages.
So this year we did put in a title sponsor. Kind of made some adjustments on the VIPs. We did make some adjustments in it. Kind of trimmed down a little bit on the VIP tickets just because it's expensive. There was some cost adjustments. Kind of switched over to some GA tickets on certain ones. There were ones that we found, for example, the shirt and volunteer sponsor, what we charged last year didn't cover the shirts, right? So the other thing is hard liquor. Currently, the Hopeful venue doesn't have hard liquor, but we will hope to have hard liquor there if we have to contract it out and we would negotiate with the venue. As part of the contract on that, but it would be the thing we got back from like Pendleton, and there was another one that got a hold of me, is exclusivity and how that works. But that's for liquor, not beer wine, but that's for liquor. The other one that changed, which is probably relevant right now, is the Mutton Busting sponsorship. That one changed. I think we know who will do. I already have that reserved, but because they ended up paying for shirts, like they did little bags for them, and they did shirts and all that, and so they did overachieve, right? And I know, and
I was so excited about it.
And you know, and Megan like just you know worked with them on T-shirts and all that kind of stuff. So that adjusted. We can try and do that work instead of having the sponsor chasing down shirts and making bags, right? VIP table, advertisement packages, book tickets, that kind of stuff. The intent would be to the existing sponsors that sponsored for the 2022, we will roll that out to them that they can renew that sponsorship, that they can hold that spot, because I have six pending that were like, hey, we want that next year. And so I will roll that out, I'll roll that out to them. Because that was the other thing I want to get it out to, was the other thing is that they were all like, if we can know before our new budget season starts, which for most businesses is usually January, we want to budget in for it, we could have done more. You know, we want to do something more, but we need to be able to budget for it. So we want to get it out soon. Those that had the existing this year, they can renew those. And then other people can, you know, it's in their budget for next year if we get it out this year. I stand for any questions, comments.
The one thing that I see, which is minor, the participant hospitality tent,
mm-hmm.
I think whoever it be needs to do something with the tent, because what, like, right now their name is just there, but there's nothing that they're providing to the hospitality tent. Like, I get that there was some treats last year,
But I feel like there needs to be some more. So I don't know if that needs to be put in that area, because it was hard for me being with the participants back there. Like, for the Flat Girls and my Queens, we had to bring our own coolers with cases of water in it, which to me, when I've gone to other rodeos, granted, they're bigger rodeos, but I think at least, you know, provide X amount of cases of water or, you know, a snack or something like that. So, because otherwise...
So we had those. That was us. That wasn't the sponsor,
no,
but that was us. Like, it's all Chris's fault. Now, I think we still have 3 cases of water and Gatorade sitting in my office, and we brought back a whole ton of snacks. We failed to refill on Saturday. We needed to refill for Slack on Saturday, but we failed to do that Friday night, and we just missed it. And that's just the truth of it. We didn't properly get the concept of the participant tent. I mean, like, it just is. I mean, we just dropped the ball. It's all Chris's fault.
But it shouldn't be your guys' duty. They're getting the name of their hospitality tent. Let that be part of their sponsorship, is to either do something like that, or they get a, like, I don't know. So that's kind of where, to me, especially, I know that the person, the company that sponsored it last year does not want to do food.
Correct.
Okay, so then do we take the money and go buy snacks?
Yes, that's what we did.
But I also wonder, like, I feel like that then puts the responsibility on people who, they wanted to be a sponsor. I don't know if I'm just putting too much responsibility on the sponsor.
You are.
Or if I'm like, hey, no, like...
Yeah, you are.
It's kind of like being a high, it's like having paying for a vendor, being a vendor for a high price.
Yeah.
So if you're going to sponsor the tent, the idea is you take ownership of the tent. Mm-hmm. And then they're there, they have their people there, they're putting their stuff out there.
But we're not asking any of the other sponsors to do that.
Yeah.
And so
where it's different. It's just like, so participant hospitality tent and like mountain busting, they're two very specialized things. So you're not going to ask Mutton Buster or the, you know, a silver. You're not going to ask the same as the silver as you would mutton busting.
So, yeah, no, I know what you're saying.
Or the city is taking ownership of each sponsorship. I mean, is that essentially what you're saying? Like, because we're going to offer you, you're going to pay this, and we're going to give this for you.
That's correct. I mean, I think that we don't. We need more understanding of what is required in a participant tent. Like Matt said, just put some cases of water out there, they'll be fine. But I can see where we could do better. And we did not refill Friday night. Do we need to come in with a new strategy on that after getting more input and understanding? Sure. Do maybe when we're putting our roster together, do we need, you know, a participant tent coordinator that's over there making sure everything's cold, making sure walking whatever area, doing whatever. Yeah, maybe it's the same person that handles mutton busting registration or whatever that turns out to be. I don't know, but I think what we have to understand better and more thoroughly is what does a participant tent really require? Like Matt says, throw some cases of water out there. Apparently we can do better. And so we're happy to do better and we want to do better. We just need more instruction from those that are in that, in rodeo.
I'm not blaming you guys at all.
But it is our fault. But I mean, it is, right?
But you also, you didn't know. So
right.
That's why I'm trying to, like, put the responsibility back on that sponsor. Like, nope, this is now you.
Yeah.
I don't know. So that was my only input. If you guys want to keep it your responsibility.
I mean, then, like, I don't know. I mean, do participants want dinner? Like, do we need to bring in a grill and burgers and,
you
know? I mean, what do participants... for those that have been in rodeo, when you go, what do you want in your participant tent? I know you've rodeoed.
Water.
Is this a rodeo or a buffet?
Yeah. No, you're gonna.
I mean, let's talk about this for a second.
Okay.
What I mean, you went there to rodeo, right?
Yes, sir.
I mean, if you can't bring your own food, and you show up to work, do you bring your glasses with you, or do you make Joe go down there and buy you some glasses every day?
Well, he won't do it, but yeah.
You know what I mean, like.
I'm not saying like a full catered meal, like say for a Stampede level, but like I feel like something more. And because I walked, did you guys walk over the participation to that? Did you guys see it? I'm not trying to, it's not your guys' fault.
We were pretty much running by it anytime we went by it.
So it was a table, and a lot of the time the contractors were sitting around the table. I was even afraid to go in there, and I was like, no, I know what this is. So I like walked into the middle of like the table with everyone, like committee members or like contractors, and I was like taking my candy. So I just feel like, Jonah's a different organization. I don't know, maybe. Not like a full buffet, but also
maybe a sign that says free water.
Yeah, or like contestants or something like that. I think there could be definitely some different organization. Okay. If a sponsor wants to do free food, I am a sucker for free food. Like you can get me to do a lot of things for free.
And maybe signage, and maybe maybe the queen participants maybe have a different area. I don't know. I mean, I mean, we can get that direction and go from there, but. I mean,
and put it this way, it's not an expectation.
Okay.
So I wouldn't.
Okay.
One more thing to worry about.
Okay. That's it. And then as far as food vendors, I would like to renew the contract with Sagebrush Drifters. They just did an amazing job with the merch. And then the food vendors, I want to send a notice out to them. They're not really sponsors, but since we're going to offer a renewal for the sponsors, that they can have that same spot back again. Do that for the food trucks, too. I do have one more comment on that. I'm sorry, I forgot it earlier. They did ask for a second barbecue truck. That the line was too long for barbecue, that they needed a second one. So I think as we saw, the numbers were so strong on Saturday, I think we could see strong numbers in 2023. And so I would say we probably do need more food vendors, but I was going to allow them to renew their spots as well. Because we just had some great food. So that's all I have on this, unless there's any other questions.
Is there a motion?
Sorry, I have one more question. Mm-hmm. It's always me with the question. I'm mm-hmm. sorry. Hey, me, love me, whatever. The two VIP tickets.
Yeah.
My biggest question, or maybe offering of ideas, for down here at 2,500, you get 4 general admission. Okay, so that's 3,000. And at 4,000, sponsor selects preferred day.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe at the, and this might be me just being shit. Maybe at like the $4,000 level, like let them pick, or like, because they'll be only wanting to do certain days for certain reasons to cut down on cost. Or why does a $4,000 get 2 VIP tickets for select days, and then but also the $3,000? Like, they're putting $1,000 more.
They get to just pick whether a Friday. No, they get to pick either Friday or Saturday.
Okay.
That's what we're saying is that they select their preferred day. They can pick Friday or Saturday.
Okay.
And so we had a good number that picked Friday. I mean, they drank plenty and ate plenty. So, yeah, I feel like they're generous enough to sponsor and invest in the rodeo. If it works better for their schedule to VIP on Friday or Saturday, that's their choice. And if they want one ticket used for Friday and one ticket for Saturday, that's okay too.
Okay. Okay.
So I don't wanna control that or order, you know,
Well, the other option I would say is like at the $4,000 level, give them two per night, or is that just because we're trying to watch budget?
Well, I mean, those tickets are worth $200 a piece, so they're gonna be kicking back $800 on a.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do. The banner size, probably where it's highlighted. What's the largest banner that can be in the arena? That makes sense, like it's not obnoxious or whatever.
I would have to check with ICA rules, but
okay.
You could make them as big as you want.
Okay. And then if
five
it's
by
only
eight,
for the
I'd say pretty easy.
5x8. Okay.
Or do we want the title sponsor to be on the top of the announcer booth? Or is there something already there?
I don't know how you'd get it up there.
We're also going to put them into ticketing.
I'll show you my hand. Just kidding. Oh, yeah. Okay.
They're going to be at the ticketing entrance as well in the announcer box. So on those banner sizes, I was thinking 4x6 or the 4x6 just feels like maybe a little larger, but I was thinking maybe the 3x6 if they were going to be by the announcer box. Can they go under the announcer box? That's what, because it's highlighted there, so I had those questions.
Be tough to get one under. Maybe get one on.
On it? And what size would you recommend?
You could do a, probably a 4x6.
4x6 at least.
So a 4x6 on the announcer, and then I think a 3x for the ticketing entrance. You were there, right?
Yeah.
Kind of. Okay. Okay. Okay, well, I think that was an action item that I needed approval for.
Okay. If there's no other questions, can I get a motion?
That we approve the 2023 sponsorship package.
Okay.
Second that.
Second. Marshall, thank you. All right. It's been moved and seconded that we approve the 2023 CUNA Rodeo sponsor packages. Perfect. All right. We're getting close.
I need a vote.
Oh, yeah, sorry. You are correct. Got ahead of myself. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. H, discussion of bid process for the 2023 CUNA Rodeo venue and review of bid sheet to be published.
Okay. So staff worked with the attorney. This is the bid sheet. Tried to provide the information on there that we would need to. It breaks down what the needs would be. This is a public document. It'll post. We're not going to publish it in the paper. We're not going to put a call out for it. It does have to go up on our website. The due date for it is December 31st with any attachments, and then during the process of it being completed, then they can get a hold of me with any questions. There's notifications on there. There's also options for the beer, wine, and then optional for mutton busting, local team roping, and barrel racing qualifier, and optional for the Queens competition that they can bid on that or they cannot. It is up to them. The bids are won't be available to the public prior to the meeting after December 31st. So those bids will remain. It's not sealed bids, but they're not public information until after December 31st. And then we wouldn't publish those out, or we wouldn't put those out until we're ready to put a packet out for the the committee to review. We hope to have contracts done way earlier this year. It's just less stressful to get them done earlier, but we are hoping to have all the contracts done and signed and through this committee and through staff mayor and to the city council no later than March 15th, so that everything is signed and sealed and everybody knows what we're doing until we get it. We don't have a date yet. I talked to Matt with the ICA and I messaged the new president, waiting for the PRCA circuit to come out so that we're not competing with that. Though tentatively the conversation is that second weekend in September when Bronx and Bulls happen in Ontario, that because it's that loopy thing, they come for one, they'll come for two or three or whatever that is. I'm working on it. Give me a dictionary of rodeo terms. I'll try and study that. So that's tentatively, but I have to wait until we see what the PRCA does and when they set their schedule. So they said probably we would know later into January. But that's the tentative, would be to buck up or buddy up with the Bronx and Bulls. That happens in Ontario.
Okay. That's it.
Any questions?
No, it looks pretty thorough to me.
Okay. So I want to confirm, I cannot have us add arena staff as an optional.
No, ma'am.
Okay, I just want to be told no again.
Okay. Thank you for asking. Scheduling for the next CRAC meeting, so... What are you thinking?
Whoop, hang on. Did it? Oh, I guess that
we don't. Yeah, we don't need that.
Okay. Yeah, scheduling of the next CRAC meeting. When works.
Are we wanting to do monthly? Or where are we at?
Well. I kind of wonder, before you make that decision, that you get your board on, that you get your new board members and allow them to participate in that discussion. So really it would be about choosing the next date to invite the new board members.
How long is it going to take to get through the mayor and the council?
Today's Wednesday. Is that right? Today's Wednesday. I think we could have it on resolution at the next council meeting, so it'd be next Tuesday. Mm-hmm.
So Thanksgiving is the week of the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
So
maybe after Thanksgiving, like maybe towards the beginning of December, first part of December.
Is there any way we want to do like the 20th, 29th, and 30th? Or
of
the which I'm okay with not attending those meetings. But I have a lot of travel in December and November. My husband's coming home. I know it's really off topic, but everyone should care.
So why are you out of town?
The 5th through the 14th in December, I'm out. So we can either go the last week of November or after that.
I'm sorry, one more time.
The 5th through the 14th, I'm out, so I am available.
5th of the 14th of November or
December?
December.
Sorry.
Is that an action item that can be tabled or no?
It can be. my recommendation, if we're going to set today, would be for the 1st. But why don't you table that? Yeah, I think that's right. Let's table that, and then let me reach out to the new members and see what's conducive to their schedule as well. So I'll just get everybody's schedules and go from there. Would that be okay?
Does the advisory committee need a motion to table that?
Yes, please.
Motion. I can't move it.
I make a motion to table scheduling the next CUNA Rodeo Advisory Committee meeting until all schedules are compiled and new members are notified.
I second that.
All right. Vote. All in favor?
Yeah.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. J, agenda items. Well, I guess that probably will need tabled as well.
if there's no agenda items, if anybody has anything that they want on the next agenda, but since we're trying to figure out when we're going to meet again, there may not be any. And that'll be a standard item on the agenda if there's any future agenda items. So.
I know it's not an agenda item, but the Queens are starting to schedule all of their winter parades, and I'm going to start ordering their lights for all these winter parades. So very, very excited. And thank you again for all the support for all these girls.
Mm-hmm. Exciting. And then Trunk or Treat, the ladies will be out for Trunk or Treat on Friday.
Yeah. Friday, City, behind City Hall on the Greenbelt. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the official one, not the other one.
All right.
You
don't have anything else?
You
have a motion to adjourn?
I think you just adjourned.
You need to do the motion to table item J.
Okay.
What was J?
The items.
The items. Agenda items.
The agenda items. Yeah.
I made the motion to table the agenda items for next meeting so we have available time to have input from new committee members and plan our next meeting.
Second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, motion passes. I want to thank everybody for coming. Appreciate it. Have a good evening.